Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Weekly Rundown, presented by our friends at Heartland Flags. Jared Stansberry and Rob Gray, Jack Trice Stadium, or overlooking Jack Trice Stadium. We are in the Jacobson Building. Matt Campbell just finished up his Cyhawk Week press conference about an hour and a half ago or so. And not a whole lot to talk about.
No, not a ton. Yeah. It's weird not having a game to look back on to say, oh, how do you build off of that? Except we were able to ask DeShante Jones how he builds off of what could have been his first touchdown since his freshman year. But other than that, yeah, just a handful of plays there to look back on.
It was a weird weekend for Iowa State football. Obviously, we probably don't really need to recap it any. But now you are in a position where on Saturday, you score off against your bitter rival without a single game under your belt.
Yep.
And, I mean, it's a unique situation. You know, I can't imagine that this has ever happened previously during this rivalry. Yep. And if it has, I don't know about it.
No, I would agree. I mean, what we saw, that the only time they'd actually had a game canceled rather than simply postponed was the JFK assassination in November of 1963. So a very unprecedented event. But again, weather, you can't control it. And Coach Campbell said last week that, you know, you don't know when adversity is going to hit you. Well, it hit in a very strange way. Probably they had plans A through Z in terms of what type of adversity they might face. Probably didn't have weather cancellation on the radar there, so to speak. But there it is.
Literally.
And, yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, it is what it is, as people like to say, all over the world. And here we are, Cyhawk Week, exciting time. And, you know, chance for a big win.
Not really a lot of news coming out of Coach Campbell's press conference today. Some of the more interesting things that were touched on, I suppose. He talked about the guys coming back from suspensions. That has obviously been a big talking point here over the last several days. And, I mean, I think the biggest thing I took away from that is him noting that there's way more to a suspension like that than just the game.
Yep.
You know, and he talked about guys having to get up in front of the team and apologize, or being on the scout team and working with, you know, second team or whatever they may have been doing. But they weren't playing with the actual first team guys. And, you know, that I think that makes sense. I still don't think that that's probably going to change the opinions of some of the folks that we've seen bashing the idea of those guys not being suspended for a game. But at this point, to be completely honest, I think that anybody that's still worried about it should probably just stop worrying about it, because I don't think it's going to change. And there's been a lot more to it than what the people in the public have been able to see.
Well, yes, and let's be honest, they're under no obligation to suspend the players in the first place.
No.
I mean, then people can say whatever they want to say. They're going to say whatever they want to say anyway. But I guess what I would ask is, and I haven't had the chance to do the research on it, games, a handful of games are canceled every year. We had Hurricane Harvey cancel some games last season, particularly, I think, some FCS games. How many times would coaches, I mean, if you just put your objective hat on, how many times would coaches say, we made it a non-game week for these people who we suspended for the week? They didn't dress. They did all these other internal things that you touched on. How many of those coaches would say, well, since it wasn't an official game, we're going to suspend them the next game, too?
Yeah.
I've never heard of it happening, and maybe it has. Maybe someone will hear this and will say, well, this coach did this under these circumstances. And also the situations, we know what Camilo was. I mean, that's a serious deal. You don't want to do that, obviously. And then he got a suspended license with Ruth. I just think it gets blown out of proportion. People want to be holier than thou. And
honestly,
I'm sick of that.
The thing that I'll say, though, too, is that of those three guys, really the only one that I feel like is actually in a position of being irreplaceable is Julian Good-Jones.
Exactly.
And his was probably the suspension that was a result of, like, the
all internal least, stuff.
Yeah, yeah, was just internal, a violation of team
nothing
rules.
Legal.
And who really knows what that is? The other two, I mean, people are acting like these three guys are going to be the key to Iowa State winning the football game on Saturday. if Kamilo Tongamoa is going to be the key to winning the football game on Saturday, then I would be incredibly surprised. The same could be said about Damonte Ruth. Going back to what I said, I feel like Julian Good-Jones is really the only one that probably is going to make that drastic of an impact on the football game.
No doubt.
And I think that there's just some people that saw an opportunity to play the holier-than-thou card, when in reality there's probably not much of a card to be played in this scenario, and you just kind of come off grumpy. I don't know how to put it.
And highly I guess selective and partisan. I mean, every team has guys who do things. Every team has suspensions. Every team has situations that arise. And every time you get on a high horse, something's going to happen that's going to force you to be knocked off or climb off that horse. And it's just sniping back, sniping for, in my opinion, for no really good reason. And we'll leave it there.
Yeah. All right, one other thing that I think is kind of interesting, and I didn't realize this until Mike Green actually tweeted it out yesterday, is that Coach Campbell has actually been in this situation before, where the season opener at Toledo 3 years ago was canceled, and then they went on the road the next week and beat Arkansas. So if there was ever a guy that I guess he wanted to trust in this scenario, at least that he's been through it. I mean, like I said, it's unique, it's unorthodox, it's kind of weird, and there's the question of whether or not, who is at the disadvantage by the fact that they haven't played a game. I have no idea. I mean, I don't know how much of a difference that really makes. At least they were able to get out on the field and do something.
And they came out healthy.
Yeah,
That's another thing that you...
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I said, it's not like the game never even got started. Like, the game started, the guys that had never played before got out on the field and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know that really anybody's at an advantage or a disadvantage in this scenario. I can't imagine that there's never been a team in the history of college football that had their bye week in week one.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine that that's never happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wouldn't worry about that too overly much. I'm not that worried about it. If Iowa comes out and wins by 20, it might be more of a discussion
a big impact, yeah.
But at this point right now, based on what I know about these two teams, I'm not overly concerned going into the game on Saturday that's going to make a huge impact on the game.
Yeah, there's no doubt they would have rather played a game, obviously, and there's no doubt fans, which electric crowd, wanted to see a game. Those are negatives. Positives, again, as I mentioned, you're healthy. Who knows, somebody gets dinged up in the third quarter, this and that. That didn't happen, as far as we know, in that short 4 minutes and 5 seconds of actual what would have been official time, but wasn't. So, I mean, that's a negative in the fact that you wait months and months and you want to play a game. But, I mean, there are the positives, too, it's different. Tom Manning isn't the guy. Coach Campbell is pretty much the guy calling plays, and Kyle Kemp, apparently, mm-hmm. to some degree, and a bunch of guys doing it by committee. So you don't show a lot. I don't think you necessarily plan to show a lot, even against a quality FCS opponent in the first place. So it's just one of those things where I think you could try to dissect it a number of different ways, and they pretty much come down to a wash.
For sure. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back on the Cyclone Fanatic Rundown presented by Heartland Flags.
Hello, friends. We'll get you back to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here in just a minute. This is Chris Williams, and I want to tell you guys about a great experience I recently had. Mine was up at Ames Eye Clinic. Now, the same guys, Dr. Kruger and the crew, are also down in Des Moines, so we've got a lot of options for you here. But I had lunch with Dr. Kruger, and I was telling him about some of the symptoms that I had had. I was having headaches all the time. I felt like I needed in the back of my neck, it was weird. It was like stiff all the time. I noticed, I was having problems reading up close. It was weird. Went in, had my eyes checked, and sure enough, I had some issues going on that I never even thought of. I never had to wear glasses as a kid. You get a little bit older. They hooked me up with some glasses that I use now when I'm looking at my computer screen all day working here at Cyclone Fanatic. Headaches have not completely gone away, but they've gotten a lot better. If you're like me, you probably haven't had your eyes checked in years. It had been over a decade since I had. Really glad that I went in there. Most insurance, it's going to work because they can code it, that it's health. There's a lot of different things that can happen with that. I'd love for you guys to give them a shot. Ames Eye Clinic. It's up on 10th Street. If you are in Des Moines, it's over on 2600 Grand Avenue. They will hook you up. Awesome guys. They're big Cyclone fans and proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and they've helped me a lot. All right, here back today to our newest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Hello, Fanatics. This is Chris Williams. There are few financial commitments you will make in your life that are more important than where to get your mortgage from. That's why I want to tell you about my friend Jason Larson at Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny. Here's a real review from a client on Facebook. Jason was amazing to work with. He kept in contact with us where we were at throughout the whole process. When we went to sign, he had coffee and donuts for us that morning. He was super kind and helpful, and we said we would refer him to anyone looking to buy a home. Now, that's just one review. Jason Larson, Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny, is an equal housing lender. Their NMLS number is 138063. Give him a call at 515-554-6177. Please tell him that Chris Williams and Cyclone Fanatic sent you.
Welcome back to the CF Rundown presented by Heartland Flags, Jared Stansberry, and Rob Gray. All right, let's look ahead to this game on Saturday. Obviously, Iowa came out with a win over Northern Illinois last weekend, 33-7, I think was the final score. Iowa's offense really struggled in the first half, able to turn it on. Defense was dominant, really, for the entire game. And, I think that it's hard to take too much away from that. Obviously, Iowa's offense was able to turn it on late in the game, but I think they really wore Northern Illinois down. And then for the most part, like I said, Iowa's defense just owned the Huskies from the very beginning for the most part.
No question. A lot of short fields for Iowa to get those touchdowns after leading 3-0 at halftime. I think we knew their defense was going to be legit again this year. That rarely changes. Last year was obviously very mercurial for them. They get some huge wins or some near huge wins and then suffer some really hair-pulling out types of losses, at least for Iowa fans they were. But they're very legit in the front seven again. We know Anthony Nelson, Matt Nelson, Parker Hesse. Those guys are studs. And then Sam Brinks. You have a history with Sam Brinks, who made his first start at D-tackle. Carroll Kemper.
The Kemper Catholic. The Kemper Catholic alum did battle in the sub-state final in 2012, Harlan. It's quite an experience.
You got to shake his hand as the victor.
Yeah, we did win, yeah. I played against him, and I played against Brandon Scherf.
Oh, okay.
That was when I was a sophomore, though. He was...
It's beefy.
He was... I was like 6'7", and weighed like 160 pounds, and he was like 6'7", and weighed like 300 pounds.
Okay, he was 300 already.
Yeah. So, needless to say, that was not exactly an ideal matchup for the 2010 Clarinet Cardinals.
You see that leverage, that center of gravity for him is quite a thing. But again, the front seven, they got pretty new linebackers, new in the sense that of starters, replacing some really good players there. But we know they're going to be good there, right? And I think Imani Hooker's a good playmaker for them in the secondary. They got some young guys there, too. Not all of them are young, but, I mean, young maybe in their starting roles. So it's going to come down to the trenches a little bit. One thing I wanted to mention, Jawan Wesley scored that touchdown late for Northern Illinois. Former Cyclone latching on with the Huskies and getting them on the scoreboard at Kinnick Stadium. But, again, a game where it's always...
Didn't he score that one-handed catch touchdown against Iowa that one year?
Oh, my gosh, it might have been.
Yeah, I think it was. He was, like, on SportsCenter.
Highlights. Highlights. Not a lot of them for Jawan, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But maybe more to come for him in Illinois there. But I don't know. As we know, it always comes down to the trenches, and Iowa's always so good there. Iowa State has become, I think, really good there.
At least defensively.
Yeah, on the defensive side, and we'll see what happens on the offensive side. As you mentioned, having Julian Good-Jones back is huge, I think, there. Not only depth-wise, but skill, athleticism, size on the outside, at left tackle. I just think it's not going to be like last season. I don't think you're going to have teams running down the field. I don't think you're going to have a ton of big plays. I think you're going to have some very, very important key handful or smattering of good big plays that are going to swing this game one way. I mean, Vegas came out 4 points. I think, you know, that makes it a pick 'em game. Kinnick's probably worth 3-4 points, they figure. So, pretty even matchup. Two good teams. It's nice. You don't always see that when these two teams are coming together. It might be one's hyped, one isn't.
Yeah.
In recent years, we've seen more where at least they're considered decent to good on both sides. But just should be a darn good football game. And there is always the guy who unexpectedly maybe does that a little bit more than he's done before, too. We obviously hope that happens for somebody on the Iowa State side. But, you know, that's a fixture of these games, so it should be a lot of fun one way or another. A lot of really good defense played on that field at Kinnick Stadium, I would think.
Yeah, and you know, it'll be a charged-up atmosphere. It should be a fun day for a rivalry game. Hopefully it's not too wet of a week. I'm not going to bank on that based on what I've seen from the forecast here over the last several days. But
it's going to be cool that day. High of just under 70.
Seriously?
A little bit of wind. It's supposed to rain on Saturday, too, but not thunderstorms at this point in the forecast, thank God. So.
Thank goodness, yeah, thank goodness. All right, should be a busy week. You've got some good stuff coming.
As do you.
I've got some stuff coming. I know Brent Bloom already filed a column to be posted here in the next several days. We're going to do stands and fits, have all our usual stuff throughout the week, except for CFTV Live. I don't think we're going to do a CFTV Live this week. So, all right, guys, talk to you guys again soon, and thanks for listening. Peace.